some things I'm believing. Lately it seems that what drives you is driving you down into dead. Resting my head on the railing, failing to mention the feeling swept over me like an ocean. I miss you despite all the tension between us.
This is episode 16 of the North Fulton Drama Club podcast.
This is the second installment of the cast podcast for A Midsummer Night's Dream, featuring Don Ogden, Leah Hayes, Jim Daly, Eileen Miller, and Ben Silver.
My name is Don Ogden, and I play Mustard Seed the Fairy.
You're the first one to say XYZ the Fairy, and we had to prompt everyone else. A fairy?
Yes.
And what is Mustard Seed?
Well, because I tell people Mustard Seed, and they're like...
Right, you're a little seed, and I'm like, no, it's a fairy. We're all earthy, but not here. We're not earthy. We're glittery and fun.
Which is exactly what we wanted.
Exactly.
Have you found anything challenging in what we've asked you to do?
Getting the glitter off my face. No, it's actually been a really, really good experience. This is my first play, so I was a little nervous, but everyone here is really awesome and helps everybody else out, and I really like the final outcome. I think it's a really good show.
Good.
We think so, too.
We think so, too. We see it.
We see the second half.
Yeah, we don't see the first half much, but...
I think that's the only thing I don't like is that I don't get to sit out and enjoy the show. With the past couple shows, working behind the scenes, I could sneak out, you know, once during the run and actually see it and enjoy it, but I'd like to see the video. I think it'd be good.
Yeah, that's like the weird bit about being on stage, mm-hmm. is you really want to see, like, not even just you, not yourself.
Right, everybody. Yep.
You really should see yourself, though. Like, your costume is hot, if I do say so myself. It really turned out great.
It's a fun costume. Yep, I really like the look of the fairies. It's really cool.
What's been your, like, favorite thing so far about doing the show? As opposed to working backstage?
I think there's just, like, the energy of actually running the show, like, just even from rehearsals to actually being on stage with an audience, just the energy is really cool. That I had no idea how that worked, so it's been fun.
So do you think you're going to want a role with more lines in some time in the future, or are you going to...
Maybe. I know I could, well, at least definitely not at this point. I could never handle anywhere close to a lead. I look at how many lines, like, Titania has and the lovers, and I'm like, there's no way I can learn that many lines. But it's been fun, and I didn't think I could do this, so, you know, maybe to push myself a little bit for a little bit bigger role, but not too big.
Well, we happen to have another play coming up.
Oh, yeah?
I'm just putting it out there.
Okay. Just putting it out there.
So like we good. Do. We have plays.
We have plays. I think I heard that there's one in the spring and one in the fall.
Yeah. It's a thing to do.
You know.
Seems to be the plan. It works out.
Well, yeah, we enjoy good. The Ogden clan.
Well, thanks.
You guys have been a great addition to our group.
Thank you. Thank you. We had fun.
The loud, boisterous half and the less loud but skilled at random things and very sweet half.
Guess which one I am.
She's so loud, you would not even believe.
Roar.
Yeah.
So, is there anything in particular, we're asking everyone some variation on this, is there anything in particular you're going to, like, take away from this experience?
Literally all the glitter, because it's all over my house, it's all over everything that I own.
Is your dog, like, all glittery now?
You know, the dog is not so glittery, but, I go to school and the kids are like, Miss Ogden, you have glitter on your face, and... I bet they wonder what kind of things I do and, you know, if I'm Barbie at night or something and wear the glitter all night. I don't know. But, no, I mean, I guess just to have confidence and to try new things. I mean, I never thought that I would act in a play, and here I am, and it's been fun, and it's a successful show. So always try something new. Then you can cross it off your list.
Awesome. Yourself.
Oh, okay. I'm Leah. Leah Hayes, and I play Cobweb.
One of our fairies.
Yeah.
How have you found your experience with us here so far?
I like it. It's interesting. I never thought it would be this much work to be a fairy.
Giving a lot more to do than I think most people give their fairies to do.
Oh, yeah. I'm channeling my inner drag queen with all the glitter. It's extravagant, and I love it.
Had you ever done Shakespeare before?
No, I've never done theater before.
Another first-timer. We reel you in.
I know.
We got you through Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Dawn because you went to high school with Dawn?
I did. She was in chemistry, and I failed, and she passed.
Okay.
And now you work with chemicals.
And now...
How ironic is that?
I know. It's a beautiful thing. Life.
So you never thought it would be this much work? Has it been... Are you having a good time at least, or
I am. I just never thought, you know, four lines. I mean, it's intense out there in the theater world. It's intense.
Why is it intense?
Oh, I mean, there's acting and such. Didn't know there was. I had to channel all those four lines.
Yeah,
I had to dig deep.
And where are you digging for that?
Oh, deep within the soul.
Maybe the glitter it helps as like a conduit.
It does. It's a fact, you know.
Okay.
Glitter channels theater.
It does.
Glitter channels theater. That's the name of this podcast.
Okay, excellent.
Barbara's always trust you. Glitter channels theater.
It does. It brings out the best in everyone.
Well, you're doing a great job, and you've actually been a huge help to us because obviously your experience with makeup has really helped the other girls. So have you been having fun with, like, getting to play with the stuff we've given you?
Oh, yeah, it's art to me. So it's just fun. Fun to do. Not every day you get to wear blue lipstick and glitter and all that good stuff.
Had you ever danced before? I think I wanted to ask you that.
No. Nope.
Because you're a very good mover. One of the things we wanted the fairies to be is very fluid and animalistic and kind of move strangely, and you kind of came out on the first day and quizzed me about what I wanted you to do, and you just did it. I was very impressed.
I'm a mover and a shaker.
You are a mover and a shaker.
Mover and a shaker.
Yeah, I'm
full of cliches.
I know.
What else?
I don't know. You're being sort of reticent with us. So
do you think, like, has this opened up kind of a new door? Like, do you think you'll do more theater after this? Or
I hope so. It's fun. I feel like it's something that I can do that I don't overly suck at. So
you don't suck. You're very good.
Excellent.
From day
like
one, I was
that.
Like, I want to keep you.
Oh, you keep them.
Yes,
me.
Once you be once
long
you,
time. You
once
keep
you're. Oh, God. Is that such an apple?
I'm not good at.
I'm
not good at podcasts.
No, it's okay.
Say something. Say inappropriate things.
Once we get you in our grasp, you never leave. Once you're part of Drama Club, you're always part of Drama Club.
Mm, yes.
Yeah.
Crazy thespians.
Any final thoughts? Anything you'll take away from this experience?
I think just the friends that I've made and, you know, all that cliche stuff. I think it's grand. You know, community theater. Woo.
Woo.
Woo indeed.
My name is James Allen Daly, and I am playing... what is my character?
We're going into our third weekend of performances.
Yeah. Peter Quince, the leader of the Rude Mechanicals.
Very good. So how has Peter Quince been for you, sir, compared to Robert Shallow Esquire, which was your character in Merry Wives?
He's a lot sillier. He's really a lot more fun. They were both fun in different ways. But this one is definitely just straight up goofball. But probably out of the crowd, one of the more straight of the mechanicals. Definitely the more comedics are Bottom, played by Zip. And
I think what you guys have developed, which we develop as a whole for all of our shows, is an ensemble feel, but I think that you, with the rest of the mechanicals, with the rest of the Tinkers, have developed your own little sub-ensemble.
Yes. Tinkerville.
How has that gone?
we're a close-knit family. We had a small rivalry going with the lovers for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were invading Tinkertown, and we just have none of that.
For the benefit of those listening who have not seen, what is Tinkertown?
Tinkertown is right behind the EDS, Evil Dead Shed. And it
For those who have not seen, what is the EDS or Evil Dead Shed?
Oh, the Evil Dead Shed is the little ice house that, it's the ice house that belongs to Barrington Hall. And it's probably, about 20 feet off the house, 30 feet off the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it serves as our backstage area on stage right of the yard.
Originally, you guys were going to use that differently.
Yeah, originally we were going to come out of the EDS.
But things happened.
Things happened, and things got destroyed or renovated,
In the process of being restored, and...
Mm-hmm.
It opens up what is, I don't know, you could possibly call a gaping hole.
We call it the Hellmouth.
Technically, it's a pit. Here's your trivia for today. Ice houses kept their ice in a pit. So there's a huge, it's about 4 or 5 foot deep pit in the middle of the floor. Yeah. That's what's underneath the floor.
Deep enough to hide a body.
Just deep enough to hide probably three.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to lose baby Jessica down there. If you fell in, you can get out, but... Still, we'd like to avoid the lawsuit if possible, right?
So, anyway...
It's certainly an angle turner.
So, getting back, tangent there. Right behind the shed, between the shed and the house, is Tinkertown. And we have claimed it as the Tinker Grand Central, headquarters, and as the patriarch of Tinkertown.
You're the dad?
I am the dad, mm-hmm. As evidenced by the family portrait you took...
Yes, yes. And where is that family portrait now?
My copy is sitting on my coffee table in my living room.
But when the show's going on?
When the show's going, we have a nice framed family portrait hanging from a nail behind the EDS. We do.
I've seen it.
It's our living room. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
So if you're the dad, that makes Sherry the mom?
Yes, Sherry is the matriarch. I am
That's Sherry
patriarch.
Childs.
Sherry Childs. Phenomenal woman.
She is amazing.
Love you. And then we have the crazy uncle who is played by Stephen Banks. And then the three children, Katie and Scott and Zip.
Hmm. So Zip is kind of a son figure in this.
I would say so.
All right, then.
He's going to hear this and be like, Jerry, you are
not.
So wrong.
I don't care.
I also am an uncle with big furry ears.
Well, whatever.
That's true. So, this is... did you work with Zip before? You didn't work
with him? No, I have not worked with him.
So, Zip is...
brilliant.
Pretty brilliant. Pretty brilliant.
He is. He and Steven both are just... If I played bottom, I would play it. I wish I could play it like Zip. I don't think I could come up with some of the crazy things he's come up with. Because he is just awesome. And Stephen Banks took, Flute the Joiner in a totally different way than I even thought about.
Right.
Whenever I read the script. And they're just phenomenal. And they play off each other so well. And it makes me so happy as Patriarch of Tinkerville.
So have you learned anything that you can apply to later shows? Maybe not even just acting, but also directing-wise. Because you are playing a director show.
Yes.
And you are both an actor
and
a director.
Life imitating art.
Indeed.
Synergies.
Trust your actors. And, let them do what you hire them to do. Let them create these characters. I mean, sure, give them pushes and nudges in the right direction, but, the people that you hire, hopefully, are going to develop their own character and play it the way they envision and have their own ideas about how these people should act.
That's my opinion on directing entirely, pretty much.
Yeah.
So you find the right people.
Mm-hmm. That's 90% of directing.
I think casting is 90% of directing, and push them in the right direction and see mm-hmm. where they go.
Exactly.
And if they go off a cliff or run into a wall, then you pull them back.
I don't think I like that. Let's try it.
The thing you did with your nose there, no,
not so much.
Not so much.
Keep your finger out.
That's the funny thing about Steve though, and Zip too, because I forget that you didn't work with them because they were in Much Ado.
Yeah.
And then we did not have them pre-gym. For Merry Wives. Pre-gym. It was pre-gym. But there seems like there was not a time without gym. So aww. It's hard that way. But we cast Steve as a straight man in Much Ado.
Oh, yeah. And he was great.
And he did an awesome job. And then we saw him do Not Now, Darling at Center Stage North. Mm. And I was like, this is why he tells us that he's always cast in comedic roles. Because he does the straight man very well. It's just he apparently never plays him.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up came in red on the same day because neither of them could make it to regular auditions. And, I mean, they're just ridiculous together. I love working with them both. Like, Zip was our friend to begin with from a long time ago. But Steve, I'm just like, I love you. Everything about you.
To be able to work together with them in that capacity where we have our own little sub-ensemble and we work closely together, it's been fantastic. I mean, really working with all of the Tinkers has been great. Cause like I said, you know, Sherry Childs is just hysterically funny. And I love her to death. And every night we come up with something new to do. You know, and sometimes it's accidental, and we think, hey, it's fabulous, let's keep it. And sometimes it's, you know, contrived backstage. Hey, whenever we do this, why don't we try it this way and see how it goes?
Are you ever concerned that that's going to get too broad?
No.
Or do you check yourselves as well?
No, because we always wanted to explore more options and explore, you know, deeper character traits, I guess you could say. And, you know, you'll tell us if we get too broad.
Oh, sure. Not a problem.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Jim.
Woo-hoo.
Jim's having a bite of... What is that?
Panini.
Panini. It looks like a hot
it's
pocket.
It's a single, so it's a very large hot pocket. It's a panino.
I am Eileen Miller. I'm playing Hippolyta in Midsummer Night's Dream.
Well done.
Thank you, sir. I've done this before.
You've been around. You know the ropes.
Wait a minute.
Wait.
But not like that.
Not like that.
Not lately.
Goodness, no. So you were in our first show.
I was. I was the Princess of France in Love's Labour's Lost. And I was Viola / Cesario in
our second show.
12th Night.
And then,
pregnant, no less.
For some reason, you weren't in our shows for
I can't imagine
a little
why.
While. And so how's the boy?
He's good.
Awesome. He had a birthday recently.
He did have a birthday. He is 1 year old.
1 year old.
A little bit, because it's been a couple weeks.
A 1 year old NFDC mascot.
Yes.
And mommy had a birthday. She is more than a year old.
Yes, I am more than a year old.
But you're also on the board, too.
I am.
You're involved everywhere.
Yeah, I guess you guys kind of like me.
Yeah, I kind of like you.
You're all right.
Hippolyta shows up at the beginning of the show and then shows up back toward the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, you still managed to make the role have more presence than I guess it's written to have, which is kind of neat. Have you been enjoying doing this role?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
What's fun about it?
She oozes sex, and that's fun to play.
Now, is that the setting, or is that the character itself?
Well, I mean, that's the way I play it.
Yes. Ah, so there we go.
And to me, though, it's not a stretch to interpret it that way.
After all, she is an Amazon.
She is an Amazon.
Buskin mistress.
Yes. You know she's had a thing with
Oberon.
And if Theseus went after her and she's the one that he has chosen when he, you know, ravished Aegle and was with Antiopeia and, you know, all these women that Oberon, that were really to Tanya, but he didn't know. But, you know, I just felt that it wasn't too much of a stretch.
Not a bit. And your co-star, your Theseus in this, is who?
Larry Fysick, who was in episode one podcast.
He was in the episode one podcast. Faithful listener.
Yes. Or what? Volume one, whatever.
Volume one, episode one.
I like
episode 15,
one.
Part one.
Well, actually, I don't like episode one, but...
It's called episode one. That connotes that it might suck.
And it might have Jar Jar in it.
Who is our Jar Jar?
Who is our Jar Jar?
That question could be easily answered, but
I think
we're
not going to go there.
But we all know.
Yeah, it's me.
It's Thomas.
It's me. I'm the Jar Jar of this fair assembly.
It's the hair. I keep telling you to cut it, but he's grown it into these large ear shapes.
I've
really
cut my hair.
Odd.
I have to for work.
It's very involved style.
So your costumes were made for you.
And they're awesome.
Your first costume became awesome by... How did it become awesome?
It became awesome by actually getting ready to take the sleeves off. Nikki slit the sleeves in preparation to actually cut them off, and I was just standing there with the sleeve slit, and I kind of looked down at it, and Alyssa kind of looked at me, and we both kind of went, ooh. And then Nikki went, yeah. And so we decided to go with that, and it worked very, very well, and it kind of made the costume. And we also had to open up the collar because I can't stand having stuff around my throat. And again, it ended up working.
Excellent. This is the first time we've had someone where both their costumes were made.
Someone that both their costumes were made.
I don't think so. I think we've had.
So.
We made Rugby and Robin's costumes, all from scratch.
That's and Anna.
Anna and
we made one of hers. I don't know if we made more than one, actually.
But I'm not the only person in the show who's had both costumes made from scratch.
No.
I
have too.
Miss De Maria.
Miss De Maria, who is here now.
Who you heard on episode 5.1.
15.2.0
beta.
Beta.
That other podcast before.
Right. Pre-Alpha Gold Master.
It was very good.
Without the bugs.
Right.
So, you were off for a year, and then you came back.
Yes.
And so, overall, how has this experience been compared to Love's Labors, or Twelfth Night, or both?
I mean, every show is different, and... I mean, it's still a wonderfully enjoyable experience, which is why I'm willing to make the trek here from Lawrenceville. And, you know, I've gotten to work with some people that I wasn't able to work with in previous shows, like Mr. Jim Daly.
Yes!
Who I adore. And actually, Zip as well, I have not gotten to work with before this show, so that's fantastic. And that's been... very, very cool. And then just the new people that we've had join us for this show are all fabulous as well.
Awesome. Have you learned anything from this role that you did not know already?
Have you learned anything?
There's one thing she did learn, and it was a fortuitous thing to learn. Eileen had never known the wonder and glory that is hot rollers.
Oh, yes!
So
yes!
We've been hot rolling her hair, and it looks really great.
Awesome. So yes.
Your hair is so hot. Like, so hot.
I learned the wonder of hot rollers.
So you're going to go out and buy some hot rollers.
I am, actually.
Awesome.
They give you shine and bounce. What is there not to love?
The curls just are
fantastic. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Hot Rollers. Thank you very much, Heidi.
So my name is Ben Silver, and I played Demetrius in Midsummer Night's Dream.
So this is kind of your first, this was your first straight play, wasn't it?
Yep.
You've just done musicals before?
Mm-hmm.
And I hear you can't sing.
I cannot sing at all. Not even close. Not even attempting to say something that sounds like singing. I can't do so.
So how did you get cast in musicals without being able to sing?
Because nobody else could act that tried out. So they kind of, pretty much I chanted instead of sang. So it was very interesting.
So like your standard pop musician.
Yeah, right. Daddy Warbucks was a lot of fun to play as chanting, you know, so.
I bet.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously this is your first Shakespeare.
Yep.
So how did that go for you?
Because there's no Shakespeare musicals.
It's different. I came in here and I saw the thous and the bys and shouts and didists and stuff, and it completely threw me off. But really, once you get into it, acting is acting, and Shakespeare is one of the greatest playwrights of all time, so it's really a lot of fun to do. So. Yeah.
Did you feel like a connection to the language? Like, did it become easier after a while to understand?
Yeah, it was actually. As you know, as time went by, and you know, every time I didn't know something, I would just ask Thomas or you guys, Alyssa and Nikki, you know, just, you know, what does this mean? And it's amazing how much easier the line was to memorize when you know what it's saying.
But, go figure.
But yeah, I mean, you know, 2 months into it, about 2 weeks ago, it started getting a lot easier, you know, to realize, oh, there's not a period there. I'm supposed to read through this, you know. So.
Sometimes it takes an outside eye to notice those
things. Yeah, it does.
An outside eye.
Oh, Lord.
You were kind of in your little... You had your little group. The show kind of had groups.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like the lovers bonded.
Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
Especially you with Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk about the your relationship with your on-stage romance? Your older woman?
It's very interesting because I always pick on her and she always, you know, is pretty much loving me. She dotes on me, you know, how I dote on you, but...
On stage.
But, you know, off stage is great. The chemistry is still there, you know. We're still really, you know, awesome together, even on stage or off stage. So, it's still good. She's a really nice lady, and I hope I'm a nice guy. I mean, I don't know.
A nice lady?
Well, I can't call her... If I called her a girl, though, that'd be like, I don't know. She's a nice woman. How about that?
There you go.
I hope I'm a nice guy sometimes. I mean, every once in a while, but try not to make a habit of it.
What was, like, your favorite thing about the experience so far?
Oh, meeting new people, definitely. Just getting to know everyone in here. This has been fantastic. I've made, you know, 26 new friends, so it's been great. When I came in here, I knew nobody except for, you know, my carpool ride, which is Rachel, and she's a fantastic girl, but... It was great to get to know all these new people and meet them and meet their families, you know, and get to know them on a personable basis instead of just your normal acting where it's, you know, you get to know the person, but you never really get to know about the person. You just, you know, you're acting, so.
And since the rehearsal process takes, like, half of your life.
Well, that's true.
You have to get to know one another or else you have nothing to do since we just...
And it's fantastic how well everyone gets along. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like this before. In every musical I've ever been in, there's always fights. There's always, like, little tiny feuds and stuff. And we've had, like, little sprats and stuff, but never anything that turned into anything. Like, it was a two-second, like...
Asunder.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've never been mad at anybody. I've never seen anybody, you know, actually say something hurtful or mean or anything like that. It's just the whole cast really just bonds really well, so it's a lot of fun.
Cool. Good.
I know we did a lot of one-on-one, like, well, small group work with this show. Like, did you find that interesting? Had you worked like that before, doing really kind of intensive?
Usually the intensive work came for me in musicals while I was singing, because I couldn't sing, so I needed the intensive work. So just getting together, like, the four lovers and just acting our parts, you know, just doing it was, yeah, that was new to me. Because most of the time, every play I've been in, when we did rehearsal, it was a run-through. We never... really stopped to do a particular part unless we needed to. You know, if that was bad, then we went back and did it again until we got it right. But we never just, you know, a certain amount of people were called and those people went and did their parts and so on and so forth. So in that way, yeah, it was different. But it was a lot of fun. Like I said, I got to know, you know, those three other people. I know them, you know, like, I've known them my entire life. I've got to know them really well, so.
Do you feel like you've developed as an actor? Like, the show has brought you...
Definitely, without a doubt. I mean... When I got here, I was, you know, a kid who had done school plays, and that was it. And it was kind of, I was kind of like coming out of my box, really. And especially with Shakespeare, because he does everything. He does comedies really well, dramas. You know, he's even a little perverted, which is, you know, my kind of guy. But I mean, it's fun because you can do so much with every character.
Big Willie used to please.
I mean, it's good, though, because every character has a funny line here, you know, a dramatic line here, where you can do, there's just no, you know, no measure of what you can and can't do, so it's a lot of fun.
Did you feel like, I mean, even though we did a lot of one-on-one work, do you feel like you had also the freedom to kind of play around and experiment with things?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that I played around plenty, and every once in a while, you know, it was kind of calm down, you know, get in the zone, but... We still, you know, it's fantastic because we got to do pretty much our own blocking. You know, we got the basics of blocking. You stand here, you do this here, you're supposed to be frowning here. But really, other than that, it was up to us. Like, the scene where the lovers, the two guys are fawning after Helena. You know, we got the positions we're in and, you know, we got a few, like, you know, hints and cues and whatever of what we should do. But really, the whole fighting part of that is just... Sean and I are doing whatever comes to us at that time, so it's really never the same in any particular show. They're all slightly different, so.
Perfect. That's exactly what we want it to be. Yeah. What do you think you're going to take away from this experience, if anything?
Pretty much the old proverb, don't judge a book by its cover. I came in here, you know, expecting Shakespeare. I mean, yeah, it's acting, so I love it, but it might be a little boring because Shakespeare, you know, Shakespeare. What's there with Shakespeare? But that was before I understood the play and, you know, got to know these people and got to know the play even. I mean, and it's been fantastic. I'll come away with, you know, great memories, great times, and, you know, knowing that we pulled off a fantastic play. So
great,
awesome. We're glad to have had you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Do you think you'll want to come back, do more Shakespeare?
Oh yeah, definitely, without a doubt. Hopefully soon. Not sure if I'll be able to do it in high school, but out of high school, I'll be, you know, the first chance I get, I'll be trying out for another play here. So
awesome. Keep your grades up.
Yep.
Yeah. We've heard from your mom, if we can't have you, we can still have her.
Yes.
Oh my God. You don't want that, believe me. You don't want that.
I don't know.
No, your mom was
your
awesome.
Your mom's pretty
she's
awesome.
She's a huge help to us. And she's a great lady.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my sister gets her drama from her, you know. But it's not the good kind of drama. It's not our kind of drama. It's high school drama. So, my mom can act, just not the kind of acting you probably want for Shakespeare. I mean,
I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah.
You stick your foot any further down your throat.
Hey, mom, whatever you do, don't check out the podcast.
North Fulton Drama Club's next production will be a restaging of A Midsummer Night's Dream for the Gwinnett County Community Theater Festival on June 21st and 22nd. For more information, please visit our website at www.northfultondramaclub.org. The music for this episode was Driving Blind by Christina Abbott. Christina's music can be purchased at amystreet.com.
Down until dead, resting my head on the railing, failing to mention the feeling swept over me like an ocean. I miss you despite all the tension between us. That's enough to keep going. Rambling, oh how I ramble. And I ain't got nothing to say. Sticking around for the movie, I just wish I could miss all the previews. Seal it up on the big screen. Seen the gift stuck in my brain between us. Rising up, and I'm just surprised that you get on without me. 'Cause I'm allowed to go and continue on my own, but you ain't allowed to do the same. Selfish pretender, call me when you wanna talk about all the ways we get over. 'Cause baby, we're just getting older before it gets too late to shoot straight. 'Cause you know how crooked we are. Guess in the end, I was hoping it sort of sailed fast somehow between us. Never clear, no. Once I was driving blind, the sun never appeared. As I was driving blind, it's just as I feared. Yes, as I was driving blind, gripping tight the wheel. Yes, as I was driving blind.
me to a new position. Could have been the last thing that I'd drunk before we separated. I don't even know how this goes on. Someone got the time, they get along, but I can't seem to pry my little hands away from all of this. But the fog never cleared, no, as I was driving the line, the sun never appeared. Yes, as I was driving the line, it's just as I feared. Yes, as I was driving the line, gripping tight the wheel. Yes, as I was driving. To a new position. I don't even recall just what it was that brought me to a new position. I don't even recall just what it was that brought me to a new position. I don't even recall just what it was that brought me to a new position. And I don't even recall just what it was.